there would be more appropriate Sundays at other times. And we'll read the verse. I think you'll understand. Luke chapter 6, in verse number 21. Luke chapter 6, in verse number 21. Blessed are ye that hunger now. Of all passages to preach on the weekend of Thanksgiving. Now think with me for a moment, if you would, before we get into the, and there's no pun intended, the meat of the message. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving. In many ways, I enjoy Thanksgiving a bit more than Christmas. Because Thanksgiving, you get together and you do the enjoyable stuff. The Christmas season is wrapped around, what in the world am I going to get for them now? And then we eventually settle on the gift card. And that's the best way to go, right? But you have all that hustle and bustle related to the Christmas season. And Thanksgiving, you're just able to get together and just enjoy the time and family and everything like that. And I hope that that's been the case for you. I hope that you've been able to spend time with family and or friends. We were able to enjoy a little bit of an extended period of time because the Lord opened the door for me to go back to the ministry there in East Tennessee. They celebrated their 55th anniversary last Sunday. And so the pastor there now asked me to come back and speak, and they had the one service and celebrated so much of our Thanksgiving for what God has done through the ministry there. They had friends and family and just different connections and so forth. So we had a blessed anniversary. Then, of course, we had dinner on the grounds. You cannot have a Baptist celebration without dinner. There has to be some kind of meal. And, you know, you're talking to so many different kinds of people, it's very hard to really enjoy the meal, isn't it? Because people are coming by and they're greeting one another and everything like this. And you're trying to get that last chicken leg down. And I'm a fan of chicken wings and so forth. And so I'm trying to eat my chicken wings at the same time people are coming by. Oh, we're so glad to see you. Glad to see you. Yes, but I want to eat this chicken wing. I want to eat that before it gets cold. So we had the big meal on Sunday. Then we stayed with my folks, and my mom wants to have a big breakfast every day we're there. So it's like eating a Cracker Barrel every day because your mother has you home. She fixes all of my favorites when I'm there. She's like, oh, Todd, I fixed this for you. I fixed this for you. My wife and boys are rolling their eyes. That's nasty, Dad. How can you eat that? I'm like, well, Mom makes it, or Grandma makes it, and I love it, and so forth. You can tell that you've been someplace too long because eventually you go from that big Cracker Barrel breakfast to cereal. And the cereal is kind of an identifier that you're out the door soon, right? You know, it's cold cereal and you're like, oh, magic stars, yippee, you know. What happened to the bacon, the eggs, the pancakes, the French toast? What happened to all that? It's cold cereal today, you know. And then the last day is muffins. And if you're served muffins that took 10 minutes to make in the oven, you know the time is done. That it's come to an end. It's been real and it's been fun, but it hasn't been real fun, right? The Thanksgiving day, we were blessed with two meals. We have two different sides of the family there in East Tennessee, and so we didn't want to show partiality to one or the other. So we had to have the big meal at 1 o'clock and then another one at about 5:30. Well, you do not want to offend the hostess. And so when they fix all of the meats and the fixings and the sides and everything like that, they say, oh, you need a little bit more of that. And my wife and her sisters have what I believe to be the best stuffing that's made for Thanksgiving and so forth. And they fixed me a special pot of that. And so they say, oh, you got to eat it all because it's a special pot for you. Oh, that's terrible. Stuffing goes right to the hips, doesn't it? It's just terrible. It's terrible. And then you get up from that and they say, dessert. Well, you don't want to offend. And so there's something in East Tennessee called dirt pudding. I don't know if they have that here in Northern Virginia, but dirt pudding, oh man, it's good. Oh, it goes down easy. And then they got pumpkin pie. Halfway through the pumpkin pie, someone says, oh, I forgot to give you the whipped cream. Well, you got to put some of that on. And so we got up from dessert. And I text my dad and said, Dad, what time is dinner? And he says, well, we're probably going to eat around halftime. It was the halftime to the Cowboys-Redskins game. We probably could have eaten before the game started and ate through the game. It would have been no problem. We wouldn't have missed anything. But we arrive home, and Mom says, okay, let's sit up to the table. It's time to eat. Oh, Todd, you need more of that. You're going to go away to skin and bones. You need some more of that. And so we get up from the table, and all of a sudden the call, it's dessert time. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, enough. I can't take it anymore. And then you wonder why all these weight loss and gyms have such discounts after the Christmas season. All of this has done nothing to add to, it's added to my gains, but I need to have some losses now, right? I hope that you were well fed. I hope that you had a great Thanksgiving. And I thought it was pretty significant that we'd come to this verse today. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. The matter of being hungered and being sorrowful. What is the Bible speaking of when it says, blessed are the hungry? Happy are the hungry? How can that possibly be? Boy, I tell you what, there have been times that I've watched in a buffet restaurant when a local football team has come in after a lengthy practice. And they'll bring in 50 players on their football team into the buffet. And believe me, they know how to utilize the buffet. And they would say to themselves, listen, I'm starving to death. I've got to get... And they start to fill their plate again and again and again. How in the world would we declare that someone is happy and blessed? Again, everything that we see in this passage, much as we see there in Matthew chapter 5, it just does not make sense to the world's eye. It does not make sense to their frame of reference. They would never see someone that is impoverished as someone that is actually happy. And we would never look at someone that's hungry and say, okay, now there's a happy person. We'd never look at the sorrowful and say, okay, now there is a happy person. But we come to this passage this morning and we look at these two aspects, hunger and sorrow. Hunger and sorrow. Perhaps by now you realize that we're not talking about physical hunger. This is a spiritual matter, and we address it with the Word of God. And we look at these two things this morning, and I pray that this will be a help and a challenge to each one of us. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Let's pray and ask God's blessings upon our time this morning. Father, thank you for the opportunity to speak to these dear folks. I do thank you again for the time that we were blessed with in our time of Thanksgiving and the opportunity to be with family and friends. Lord, I'm so thankful for the sacrifices that were made that we might be physically fed. But Lord, there is much on the plate for us this morning, and I pray that we would dive into this spiritually, that we'd realize that there is a hunger that is necessary in each of our lives. I pray that you'd help us to recognize the joy that actually comes from weeping. All of these find a difficult spot in worldly thinking. But I pray that you'd help us to be biblically minded. And I pray that this would help strengthen each one this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are those that sorrow. Blessed are they which do hunger after righteousness. We find this statement in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The first matter that I want you to see this morning from this verse is that of spiritual hunger. Spiritual hunger. And as we consider what the Bible says here in verse number 21, blessed are ye that hunger now. This is a current hunger. Blessed are ye that hunger now. Are you and I personally hungry for the things of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we personally hungered for the righteousness of the Lord? One Bible commentary said it this way. In the Bible, righteousness means two simple but profound things. It means both to be right and to do right. Now, in light of salvation, I was made righteous through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God now looks at me, He does not see me in mine own righteousness. He sees me in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees me in His righteousness. I have exchanged my robes of sinful righteousness for the robes of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I have been made right. But you know, I don't always do right. And the scriptures reveal to us that we must have a mindset of a hunger for not only the fact that we have been made right in Jesus Christ, but now we need to seek to do right. There are so many analogies from our physical appetite to that of spiritual things. You know, no one had to teach me to like ice cream. I like ice cream. I could sit and eat ice cream all the time. I love ice cream. No one had to teach me to like pies. I enjoy certain kinds of pies. No one had to teach that to me. No one had to teach me to like chocolates and chocolate candy bars. No one sat down with me and said, okay, will you like these things? But they did take time to teach me to like what is good for me. And boy, I tell you, it's been a long lesson. It's been a long lesson. Why? Because I trend towards those things that are not good for me physically. I just enjoy them. It comes naturally. It's pleasing to the flesh and the appetite. If you set before me a bowl of broccoli or a piece of pumpkin pie hot out of the oven with that dollop of Cool Whip, there's no doubt in what I'm going to be taking. My sister enjoys making a peanut butter pie. I heard of some others that make peanut butter pie. Oh my goodness, peanut butter pie. It is absolutely going to be the flavor of heaven. If you don't get on board with peanut butter now, buddy, you're going to be sorrowful in heaven. Because that's going to be the key ingredient of everything that we have on the other shore. I'm just kidding. I love peanut butter. I love all these things, but I recognize the more I eat of that, the more there is of me. Right? That's kind of a profound statement. You can quote me on that later on. Dr. Todd Abbey said this, you know. You see, I love all that stuff, but I recognize that it's working against my physical well-being. It can lead to diabetes. It can lead to extra weight. It can lead to heart disease. It can lead to all these things. So they say, you better watch it. You got to watch it. You need to be careful. You need to be alert. You know what? The same thing is true in spiritual things. The Apostle Paul talked about this wrestling match when he said, the good that I would do, what? I do not. I know this is right. I know this is what I ought to do. But boy, there's a wrestling match in my life. And I always find this trend in my life. And the Apostle Paul finally threw up his hands and he said, oh, wretched man that I am. I come to an understanding that my flesh is still within me. There is warfare, and it is trending away from the things of God. Say, Pastor, I just like this kind of the world's music. Why is it that that kind of music from the world comes so easily to our flesh? And then when we come and we hear the right kind of music, we're like, man, I just don't like that. I'm bored. Well, again, when you and I think of the physical appetite and we think of our spiritual appetite, the right kind of music is like broccoli. It's like those good vegetables. There's weight to it. It's actually a benefit to my life. But boy, I tell you what, the flesh is awful, awful drawn to the fluff that the devil can put out there. Traditionally, I would say, and I'd say something like this, we need to get off of rock music. And everybody would be like, oh yeah, rock music, it's so bad. But I tell you what, the devil has a genre of music that will have your flesh feasting. And it's not always in the realm of rock music. And so if we're going to be accurate, we have to acknowledge, listen, the devil has a genre that will meet the taste of your flesh. And you better be vigilant. You better be vigilant. In all these areas of our lives, there is a wrestling match between our flesh and spirit. And I'm asking you this morning, do you have a hunger for spiritual things? Do you have a hunger for spiritual things? The Bible says that there is a current hunger. How can I tell if I have a hunger for spiritual things? Well, do you hunger for the Word of God? Do you have a hunger for the Word of God? Does it matter to you as to how much of this book that you take in between Sunday services? Does this book ever get opened in any way, shape, or form throughout any portion of the week where it's not mandated that you open it? Oh, yes, I'm in Christian college. I've got to memorize set verses every week. Or I'm in Christian school and I've got to memorize these things. I've got to open my Bible because I've got Bible class in some way, shape, or form. I'm asking you, is there a time during the week when you are not forced, but you just have a craving for the Word of God? Do you have a hunger for the Word of God? Number two, do you have a hunger for communication with God? When we talk about this matter of a current hunger, we have a hunger for communication with Almighty God. I just cannot wait to talk to Him again. Now, I understand the nature of praying without ceasing and everything involved there. But the truth of the matter is, do you and I have set times that we are setting aside that we might have communication with Almighty God? Do you have a hunger for it? Do you have a hunger for a life that represents Jesus Christ well? Let me ask you something. Let's pretend that you were elevated to the presidency of the United States of America. And you were called and they said, hey, we've got an opening here. You've got the right resume. You've got the right background. We're going to make you the president of the United States. And when they made you president of the United States, you said to yourself, you know what? I'm going to choose Todd Abbey to be my ambassador to Great Britain. And so you make a phone call and you call me and you say, okay, Brother Todd, I would like you to be the ambassador to Great Britain. And I said, hey, that'd be fantastic. I'll check in with you before I depart for Great Britain. But I'd be happy to be your ambassador to Great Britain. So I'm going over to that country and I'm going to represent you in everything that I say and do. And so on the day before I head out, I stop by your presidential office and I haven't showered in 3 weeks. I got crusties all over my face. Haven't brushed my teeth in a couple of weeks now. I got stains on my shirt from 3 dinners ago. Oh yeah, that was barbecue the other night. And I come in and my suitcase has got clothes out of each side of it. And I'm just a mess. And I say, hey, I'm ready to go. I'm going to represent you in Great Britain. No, you're not. Well, why would you be upset? Why would you be upset that I hadn't bathed in 3 weeks and I haven't cleaned off all the junk and washed my clothes and gotten cleaned up and halfway presentable? Why would you be so upset? Well, I'm upset because I'm sending you to be a representative of me and a representative of our country. And this is no way, in no way, fashion or form, a representation of what we want. You see, when I use that illustration, you'd get all bent out of shape that would be the kind of ambassadorship that I would carry if your name were the one presented. But I wonder, as God has identified for us the fact that we are His ambassadors here on this earth, if that's not some way, in some way, shape, or form, the way that our Christianity is presented to others. Our individual lives are a mess, and we claim to be representatives of Jesus Christ. Our marriages are a mess, and we claim to be representatives of Jesus Christ. Our family relationships are a mess, and we claim to be representatives for Jesus Christ. I wonder this morning if you and I have a thirst after the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You see, it's far more important for me in my representation of Him than it ever would be in my representation of one of you, or if you were to go and represent me. It's a critical thing for us to consider. Do we hunger and thirst, or hunger after the life that represents Jesus well? Let me ask you this question. Do you hunger for the fellowship of the saints? The Bible says there in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25, we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're to desire that fellowship, that challenging of one another. We're to have that hunger. Hey, I can't wait to be back with my church family. I enjoy the opportunity to see family and friends in other places, and I always have a good time. This year, we were not able to go out and see our family in Iowa, and we've been receiving texts and messages, and hey, sure miss you guys this year. We've done that for a number of years now, and it just didn't work out this year. And they send messages and say, hey, missed having you here. Can't wait to see you again. Man, I desire to be back. I have a hunger and a thirst for that. When I'm away from my church family, I have a hunger and a thirst. I cannot wait to be back. Why? Because this is the body that God has me in. And there's a thirst for it. So when I go down through these things and I ask you, do you have a current hunger for these things? How did you answer the question? If you're taking notes this morning, you might record this passage and then look it up later. Philippians chapter 3, verses 9 through 14 detail the Apostle Paul's hunger and thirsting after the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says there in that passage, listen, everything else in my life is a loss that I may win Christ. Do you and I have that kind of current hunger? Well, the Bible says there that there's a current hunger. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. There is a coming filling. A coming filling. Psalm 107 in verse number 9. The Bible says, for he satisfieth the longing soul. He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Revelation chapter 7 in verse number 16. The Bible says, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Does a man really have life in him if he does not have the righteousness of Jesus Christ? And we would say, no. If a man has never been to Calvary to receive the forgiveness of sins and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, he may be breathing earthly oxygen, but he is on his way to an eternal damnation in hell. Does he really have life if he doesn't have the righteousness of Jesus Christ? And we would say, no. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Without the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no eternal home in heaven.
Does a man really have life if he does not have the righteousness of Jesus Christ? No. Listen to this second question. Does a saved man really have the fullness of life if he's not seeking the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, the worst place to be for any believer is in a place that is in disobedience to Almighty God. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, you will be in disobedience, the most miserable of all men. And so I say to you, there's a coming filling. Jesus says, listen, all of those needs of hunger, all those needs of thirst will ultimately be met when our faith has become sight. Boy, I can't wait to go to heaven. I would rather go to heaven in rapture than to go to heaven through the method of death. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Love to meet the Lord in the air. Man, that'll be awesome. When all of that transpires, all that we have hungered for on this side, I want to be like Christ. I want to learn more of Christ. I want to know more of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith will be made sight, and all of those hungers will be satisfied in Him. There is a current hunger and a coming filling. That is the matter of spiritual hunger. Would you notice the second part of the verse with me this morning as well? It's not only spiritual hunger, but it is scriptural sorrow. Scriptural sorrow. The Bible says, blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. There was a spiritual hunger, and number two, there is a scriptural sorrow. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 4, the Bible says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It is interesting that you and I sorrow as everybody else in society. We have the same kinds of sorrows. When we interact with those that do not know Jesus Christ, they will have times of tears. We will have times of tears. They will have times of great burdens. We will have times of great burdens. But it is an interesting statement that is made in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in reference to the nature of the passing of loved ones. And it says that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. So while there is sorrow in our lives, it is not the same kind of sorrow that is in the life of the individual that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember back in 1986 when my grandmother passed away. When my grandmother passed away, we all flew out or drove out to Forest City, Iowa to be a part of the funeral. And there at the funeral, I met a number of cousins that I had never met before. And so in a time of sorrow, we actually had a time of rejoicing. Well, how can that be? How can you have a time of rejoicing when you are in sorrow? Well, we'd lost Grandma Johnson. Grandma Johnson was very special to us. Every year at Christmas, she made dozens and dozens of her Christmas cookies. And we lived out here in Northern Virginia, and Grandma Johnson would take a box and she'd fill it with those Christmas cookies, and it'd be a row of Christmas cookies and then a row of wax paper, a row of Christmas cookies, a row of wax paper. And it was normally a pretty large box. And she took the time to mail that out to us. But I'm telling you, when Grandma Johnson's box came in the mail, that was very significant. It was better than anything else that would be under the tree. Those cookies were so significant to us. And I'm saying to you, we went through the snowmen and the Christmas trees and the stars. Man, oh man, it's good stuff. Whenever Grandma Johnson would fly in, she'd land in those days over at National Airport. And in those days, we could go right up and put our face right against the window. And you're right there as they're getting off the plane. Grandma Johnson, when she'd fly in here, she'd always have the big pack of Wrigley Spearmint gum for every one of us as kids. I don't know why. I don't know that we ever asked for it. I don't know what the deal. I don't know if it was on sale at the airport. So she always picked it up and said, hey, I'm going to take this as their gift. But we always got the giant pack. You know, it had about 17 sticks in it. Well, when you're 7 years old and an adult hands you a package of gum that has 17 sticks on it, what's your tendency? Oh, well, I'm going to use this wisely over the course of the next number of weeks, and I'll have this gum for a long time. Don't be so holier than thou. That's not accurate. You're thinking to yourself, can I fit all 17 pieces into my mouth at one time? And so you open up one of those pieces of gum. One is good. I bet two is better. And you open that up. Man, oh, man, we love Grandma Johnson. Grandma Johnson made all of her grandkids little pillows. I don't know how to explain this little pillow. It was just a precious pillow, and every grandchild of Grandma Johnson got a little pillow. Man, I'm telling you, we love those little pillows. If you ever saw one of the grandchildren in the Johnson family, they had their little pillows with them. My cousin took his little pillow and put it on his motorcycle seat. And he rode from Four City, Iowa, all the way down to Florida, up to Northern Virginia, all the way to Canada, and back to Iowa City with that little pillow on his motorcycle seat. I'm telling you, that was pretty precious. So how in the world would we have that kind of joy when a dear lady like this has gone into eternity and we will no longer have the flavors of all that she has blessed us with? You know, when we looked around at that funeral, at our cousins that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as my dad opened my grandmother's Bible and used her Bible at her funeral and read so many of the passages that she'd made notes with, and all of us, cousins and the children and the in-laws, and all of us began to realize so much of our presence here at this funeral is because of the godliness of that lady. She made sacrifices that her children might know Jesus Christ as their Savior. The children then invested in their kids that they might know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so when we all met together, it was a time of sorrow. Yes, I shed tears. I remember that first time that I laid eyes on a significant relative that was lying there in a casket. And for that little kid, that was tough. But as soon as we shed those tears, we'd also have the same, in the same conversation, we'll see her again. We'll see her again. Blessed are they that sorrow. Blessed are they that weep. For the Bible says they are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We as believers sorrow, but we don't sorrow as those that have no hope. How many times have you seen the believer that comes home and he declares to his wife, honey, I received the pink slip today. I lost my job. And in the world setting, they would just believe it to be the end for them. And that husband and wife that sorrow because a job has been lost begin to look up to Almighty God and say, God, what do you have in store for us next? They sorrow, but not as those that have no hope. There is current sorrow. It is my prayer that we at FBT have a sorrow over lost souls. I did a funeral down in East Tennessee for a gentleman. His name was Mike. And Mike lived a very difficult life. He spent much of his time in bars. He spent much of his time in settings that were in opposition to his family. He lived a very difficult life. And one night, he was out drinking in a bar, and he did not come home. And his son and some others began a frantic search because they could not immediately find him. And lo and behold, as the sun rose on the next day, they did find him. He'd had a single accident, and he'd gone into eternity. And so I had to do the funeral for this gentleman that I have no doubt in my mind failed to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. His son knew the Lord, and his son said, Pastor, will you please share Jesus Christ with my family because they're going to come and most of them do not know Jesus Christ. And when you see family members sitting there in that section and some of them are weeping and wailing over the loss of this individual who's gone into eternity and someone else is sorrowful, yes, they understand. It's not just that I'm no longer going to be able to interact with them, but they've died in their sins and gone to hell. And for each one of us, there ought to be a current sorrow. Who do I directly know? Who's in my family? Who's in my neighborhood? Who's in my contacts? Who do I have weekly or monthly interaction with? And they do not know Jesus Christ. Is there a godly sorrow over the fact that if they go into eternity, they go there without Jesus? We should weep over lost souls. We should weep over our sin. We should weep over our sin. It's interesting when you are doing child training at how significant certain things seem to be to your child. And you recognize that in the grand scheme of things, it's probably not that big of a deal, but to them, it's just the world. And you go to them and you say, now, listen, I've got to correct you in this matter. Daddy told you to take out the trash from your room and you did not obey. And so I've got to deal with you on this matter of disobedience. And to that child, oh, Daddy. And I mean, they're just brokenhearted and they're sorrowful and they're saying to themselves, this is the end of my life. And you're thinking to yourself, well, probably not that bad. I mean, it's a trash can. It's okay. You're trying to help them become disciplined and to discipline themselves and to learn obedience. But I tell you what, how quickly we move from that broken heart over sin that has grieved the Holy Spirit of God to, it's really not that big of a deal. Well, I know I should not have said that, but, you know, everybody swears now and again. Well, I know I shouldn't have participated in that conversation, but, you know, really everybody's involved in that kind of thing now and again. We really do not sorrow over the nature of our sin. We should weep over the carnality of believers. Jesus said to his disciples, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Know how many Christians just live with contentment in carnality. If you take some time and study carnality in the Scriptures, you find that to be carnally minded is death. It's a believer that has life, that has eternal life, but they are living their life as though they are still a dead man. And that ought to bring grief to our heart. That ought to bring sorrow. Current sorrow. But the Bible says that there is coming joy. Would you look at the last part of the verse? Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Boy, I love to laugh. I enjoy laughing. We had enough of us on Thanksgiving Day with all the family members. And my son had a brilliant idea. And he said, Dad, Granddad, let's play Family Feud. I'm like, well, I didn't think the day was going that bad, but okay, let's play Family Feud. And so we had enough that you could technically stock both teams. And my oldest son said, Dad, I'll play the host of the game. And so we all reached in and picked numbers out, one or two. Team one or team two. And it was so interesting because all of the grandkids picked one number. Nobody knew what they were picking, but all the grandkids picked one number. And my mom picked the number with the grandkids. So it's all the grandkids and my mom, and then the rest of us adults are on the other team. Well, boy, if we're going to play this game, I'm going to get in the mood of it. And so we're the Family Feud. And so my son's introducing both sides. And he introduces both sides of the family, and he begins to ask questions. And right in the middle of it, I mean, some of the answers that were given, I mean, they're crazy. And you tell yourself when you're watching an episode of Family Feud, you tell yourself, well, if I was on there, I would know the number one answers all the time. But then in this simple setting, my son has it on his cell phone, and he brings it up and he's like, top five answers on the board. Here's the question. Name the most popular name for a child in 1985. You know, or something like this. I'm making up a question. And I mean, the answers that we would get, crazy, crazy, crazy. But right in the middle of all these answers, as my mother is situated between all of her grandkids, all the grandkids start laughing uncontrollably. The adults are sitting over here because obviously we have not heard what is so funny, but they are all laughing uncontrollably. And so it's one child laughing, and then it spreads to the next one, and then it spreads to the next one, just like the common cold. And then it spreads to the next one, and this side, the next one. And now they're all laughing uncontrollably. And we're all standing there going, what? What's so funny? Well, it must have been shenanigans because they never told us what they were really laughing at. It's probably one of the adults or one of the adult answers. But I love to see people laugh. I mean, I know that we deal in society with people that are paid to be miserable. And the only way you're happy is for everybody to be miserable. But there is something about a deep-rooted laugh that just does good for the soul. Say, Pastor, we never laugh around our table. Well, maybe it'd be good if you did now and again. Just have some good time of laughter and good time of joy and fun. On this side, and we're going to get to it in the coming verses, it may seem that there's a lot of sorrow in the believer's life. As I've mentioned, sorrow over lost souls, sorrow over sin in my life, in the lives of others, sorrow over carnality. We might begin to realize that, listen, on this side, there is much to be sorrowful about. I recognize that there's persecution in the world. That the world's walking away from the Word of God. That the nation's walking away from the Bible. There's much to sorrow over. But the Bible confirms to us that joy comes in the morning. Heaven will be ever so sweet as we sing the songs of Zion and reflect with everlasting joy on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 51 and verse number 11, the Bible says, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Let me just tell you something right now. If you are a saved individual and you are living a miserable life, you're going to be a misfit in heaven. We have so much to be joyful over on this side. So much to rejoice in on this side. And yet that side is going to be thousands of times better. I can't wait to get on the other side. I've got a lot of questions for Peter, James, and John. I've got a number of questions for Joseph and Daniel. I can't wait to get on the other side because my grandparents are already there. My first grandfather went to heaven in 1951. I never had the opportunity to meet him. But when I get on that side, I'm going to be introduced to Carl Johnson. And I'm going to say, hey, Granddad, nice to meet you. I'm telling you what, heaven's going to be a wonderful place, but it's a wonderful place because God says, ultimately, I will wipe away all tears and all sorrow. All of the things that brought sorrow to us on this side have now been cared for by Almighty God. Folks, there should be hunger now because there is a coming filling. Folks, there should be sorrow now, but joy will come in the morning. Would you take your Bibles, and in closing with me, would you take your Bible and turn back with me to Psalm number 63? Psalm 63, I wanted to close the service today with this psalm. I believe it's an appropriate section of verses as we think of being hungered and yet filled, being sorrowful and yet having joy. There is a current nature to both of those things, but there is a coming day. Would you see with me what the psalmist wrote here in Psalm number 63? This is an admonition for all of us as we consider what we ought to hunger for, as we consider the nature of our sorrow, and we reflect on what is ahead. Would you look at this passage and read these verses with me? Psalm 63 and verse number 1. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in Thy sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by Him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Do you have a present hunger? There is a coming filling. Our faith will be made sight. Do you have present sorrow? There is coming joy. Great King of glory, come, let's pray.